So for our message today, we're going to take another look at how the Bible calls us to be known. And we're coming up actually on a new season. Easter season is just about here. Ash Wednesday, that first day of Lent, is March 2nd. So like, what is that? 1 week and a half away. So I'm going to wrap up this series. Yeah, I know. Time keeps flying by, right? But I'm going to wrap up this series next week on this idea of being known. But certainly haven't exhausted everything the Bible says about what it means to be a light to the world as a Christian. And so I just want to encourage you, as you read through the Bible on your own, be thinking about not only does what is God doing in you, but how does he want you to use what he's doing to make an impact on the world? As we've been talking about, we've been looking at Jesus' command in Matthew 5, where he says, "You are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." That's part of the call of being a Christian in this world, that we would let the light of Jesus shine out of us. And we've been just been considering, what does that look like? What does it mean to be known as a Christian in this world? What kinds of things ought we to be known for? And so today, we're going to continue and consider what it means to be known by your fruit. There's a lot the Bible says about being fruitful, and we'll take a closer look at some of that. But we're going to begin today with a passage in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. If you want to follow along, go ahead and open up to John 15. And if I have a volunteer, I would love to have somebody read that for us, first 8 verses. Anyone care to come on up and read John 15, 1 through 8 for us? Somebody else? Yep, go ahead, Kent.
I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Sorry, to what? Mercy. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples.
It's a very powerful and important passage when Jesus talks about a relationship with him. And there's two main points that I see Jesus emphasizing throughout that whole section. The first one is abide in me, or some translations say remain in me. He uses this metaphor that he is the vine and we are the branches. We are just like a branch is connected to the main vine of the plant. We are to be connected to him. Remain in him. He is to be our source of life. Apart from him, there is no true life. And this is tied closely to what we talked about last week. Last week's focus was on being known as people who have a love for God's righteousness or a desire for righteousness. Because remaining in Jesus involves maintaining close fellowship with him, as well as having a desire for him and for his will, wanting what he wants. We see this expressed in Psalm 1, how good it is to want what God wants. Psalm 1, 1 through 3 reads, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with the mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. And it follows that metaphor again, that those who love the Lord and love his ways are like a tree by the river with its roots going deep, and it bears much fruit. That theme of bearing fruit is the other thing that Jesus emphasizes in this passage, that we would bear fruit. When you think about a branch on a tree or a branch on a grapevine, what does that branch do? It produces fruit. That's its job, right? It bears fruit. It receives nutrients from the vine. And a natural part of its growing process is that it would be productive, to produce fruit. We can't bear fruit without Jesus, but if we remain in him, we will bear fruit. And bearing much fruit is to God's glory. It shows that we are Jesus' disciples. This is a big part of the point of that passage, that if you remain in him, you will bear fruit. And that's where we're going to focus our attention today. We're called to bear fruit for God and be known for the kind of fruit that God produces in us. So Paul reinforces this call to bear fruit in Romans 7, verse 4. This is what it says. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who raised you from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Now notice in this passage how Paul ties bearing fruit for God with salvation through Jesus. Through our faith in Jesus, because of who he is and what he's done, we died, he says, to the law. It's a spiritual death to the law, in order that we might bear fruit to God. Now, this is a different message than sometimes we hear about Christian faith and salvation. Over and over in the New Testament, you see things like this that says salvation is so much more than Jesus doing something so that you can be forgiven for sin. That's so often where our focus turns. It's a very self-focused view of the gospel to say that Jesus came and he died and rose from the dead just so that I can be forgiven for my sins and I could be set free to do whatever, to live however I want. That there's so much more to it than that. Focus is not primarily on me or you. The focus is on Jesus and God's will. And so what Paul says here is that in Christ, when you confess your sin to God and you do receive that forgiveness for sin that Jesus gained for you, you are agreeing to belong to him now. You're agreeing to bind your life to him. You're agreeing to graft yourself in as a branch to his vine. And Paul says that Jesus did all of that. He granted us or earned us that forgiveness of sin so that we might bear fruit for God. That's the reason Paul points to for all of salvation, that we might bear fruit for God. Bearing fruit for God is a big part of what it means to be a Christian and a disciple of Christ. Going back to Jesus' words, you bear much fruit for God's glory and thus prove that you are a disciple of Christ. Now, Peter, the Apostle Peter, tells us something about achieving greater fruitfulness in our lives in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I turn over to that now. I'm going to start reading in verse 3. It says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. Now, I just need to stop there for a moment. This is a preamble to what I want to get to, but that is a very powerful statement right there. And this fits well with Jesus being the vine and we're the branches that are grafted into him. This passage says that God grants us through Jesus everything that we need for life and godliness. He is our source of life. And it also says, it goes beyond that, for his glory and his excellence, he has given us the ability to become partakers of the divine nature, to participate in who he is. And because of him, we have escaped the corruption of the world that comes from sin. That's just a powerful message about the gift that God gives us through what Jesus has done. That he has granted you a special place in this world and has given you the opportunity to escape from the corruption of the world. That means setting you on a new path in life and giving you new opportunities to live and not continue down that sinful track of destruction that their world is set on. And so it's just, I want to stop and let that sink in, just how powerful this gospel message is. There's so much to it. But then let's read on, verse 5. It says, for this reason, because of that powerful thing that God has done, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, talking about this fruitfulness. And Peter gives us this list of things to consider. If you're ever growing in these qualities, they keep you from being unfruitful for God. And so it's a good way for us to evaluate whether we're being fruitful for God. Am I allowing myself, am I following God enough that I can live a fruitful life for him? And you can ask yourself, just go through that list. Am I adding to my faith in Christ with virtue or excellence or goodness? Depending on exactly how you translate that, that word is referring to, am I seeking after God's righteousness, seeking after his will? Am I trying to do the good that God calls me to do? I can be fruitful for God if I am seeking that. And if you add to that greater knowledge of God, you can ask yourself, am I knowing the Lord more? Am I understanding who he is? Then I can be more fruitful. Am I adding to that self-control? Am I learning how to control my own cravings and desires? Am I learning to deny myself in order to follow Jesus' way? Am I developing more steadfastness or perseverance as I remain in Jesus more and more firmly, as I grow in all these other areas? Am I developing a greater perseverance to see my way through the challenges of life? If I am doing that, I can be more fruitful for God. Am I growing in brotherly affection? Now, it's kind of interesting when you take a closer look at these things. Brotherly affection. If you've been around the church for a while, you may have heard a sermon before on love and how the Bible talks about different types of love. And this is one of them. The word for love here in the Greek is Philadelphia. And many of us know that the Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia, is the city of brotherly love. That's exactly what that word was referring to, having love, affection for your brothers and sisters. So the first way to evaluate your ability to be fruitful is to ask yourself, okay, am I loving my brothers and sisters in Christ more? Am I finding myself able to enjoy that fellowship and to gain something from it and to really appreciate people for who they are? Then I can be more fruitful for God. And then Peter goes on from there to the next one and says, why did I lose it? Am I adding to my brotherly affection love? And the word love there is the word agape, which is unconditional love. The kind of love that God shows us in spite of our sins. Am I growing in that kind of love for all people? Am I learning to love people as God loves them? Am I learning to love everyone, even my enemies, even those who make my life difficult? Am I learning to love them? That's another sign of your ability to be fruitful for God. And so Peter gives us this great list to look at, evaluating our ability to be fruitful. Am I growing in these things? And it's really helpful to have that list to go through, to ask myself, am I doing these things? Then we have another spot in Scripture that gives us another similar list. And many of us are probably familiar with this one, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And it's a very helpful list to look at about the kind of fruit that God produces in our life. So this is in Galatians chapter 5. Turn to that. And what Paul does in this passage is actually another helpful thing to think about fruitfulness, because everybody's life produces some kind of fruit. It's not necessarily good fruit. There's good and bad fruit that comes from our lives. And we have to consider what kind of fruit are we producing in our lives. And so we can look at this list that Paul gives. Starting in chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 16 through 18 first. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." It's describing a list of bad fruit. These are unrighteous things that God does not want us involved in. But then he goes on from there. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." But this is the fruit of the Spirit. If you live more by the Spirit, if you remain more in Jesus, this is the kind of fruit that should develop in your life. These good traits that God wants to see grow in us. And this is all to God's glory, that we would mature in our lives and we would grow in these ways, that we would gain more of these kinds of fruit in our lives. So we consider this fruitfulness and what God wants to produce in us, the kind of character he wants us to develop. I want to go back to Jesus' words again in John 15. In verse 8. There we go. It's not working on my phone, but it's working up there. John 15, 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit and so show yourself to be my disciples." As I dwell on that statement, and I think about all this fruitfulness that the Bible talks about and the kinds of spiritual fruit that we just read about in Peter and in Galatians, I think there's some distinction between what Jesus is saying and the descriptions that we get from Paul and Peter. Both of those passages that we looked at are telling us what good fruit looks like. And it's helpful to have that, to know, okay, I can gauge how I'm doing in my walk with Christ if I can see this kind of fruit developing. These are the kinds of things that should develop if I am living the way God wants me to live, or at least trying to live according to his ways. But Jesus says, he calls us to bear much fruit and to show ourselves to be their disciples by doing that. I think there's something more to that than simply having God work in us and helping us develop new character. It's not just about becoming a new person. It's not about being fruitful is something more than just me becoming a more loving, good, kind, patient person. You see how that's, again, focused on me? And look at the good person I'm becoming because of Jesus. I think Jesus is saying something more than that when he says to bear much fruit for God's glory. Bearing fruit for God means that we live our lives in a way that produces something for him. When I think about a tree producing fruit, that fruit does no good if it just stays on the branch and rots away. It is meant to be taken. It's meant to provide nourishment to other creatures that eat the fruit. It's meant to sow seeds. Right, as animals eat the fruit and the seeds, and they spread those seeds in other places, the plant grows somewhere else. That fruit has a purpose, and it's not for the tree or for the branch itself. It's for the world. It has an impact on others. And I think the same is true for us when Jesus says to go and bear fruit. The fruit God produces in us is not just for us to have and to rejoice in, and to enjoy for ourselves. We're meant to be productive in this world, to do something that makes a difference for God in this world. We're meant to do something that we can give away and have a lasting impact on other people, to nourish other people, to help them heal, to help them grow, to help them know what true love is. We're meant to give something away that helps sow seeds of faith in other people's lives. And by doing that, by bearing that fruit, by being productive with the fruit that God puts within us, we show ourselves to the world as disciples of Jesus Christ. And we bear something, not for us, but for the world. That's part of what it means to show yourself to be a disciple. You're not just proving it to God, and you're not just proving anything to Jesus. He knows your heart, but showing the world what it means. And so as you look at this fruit of the Spirit, you can see that these are not things that develop in isolation. Right? We can go back to that slide on the fruit. These are things that you develop as you interact with other people. Right? You can't become a patient person just on your own. Develop patience with other people, and love, and faithfulness to them, and showing gentleness, showing kindness. These are all things that we do as we interact with people. And so when the Spirit is at work within you, and you're living by the Spirit, or you're remaining in Christ, God teaches you how to share these fruit with other people. And as you do that, you produce something in them. When you give people love, kindness, and gentleness, when you show them self-control, you show them what Jesus is like. And you show them the kind of life that he is inviting them into. So you're fruitful for God when you take what he's given you and you go out among other people and take opportunity to share that good fruit with them. Show them what God has done in your life. Show them the kind of person you have become because of him, and show them the goodness of God that could be at work in their lives as well. And so I want to wrap up today just by saying, let's be known by our fruit. And you can look at that in a couple of different ways. Let's be known by the kind of fruit that God produces in our lives, that we are becoming people who are more loving and more faithful and more kind and patient and joyful and all those things that we're called to. Let's show that kind of producing in us, but also show your fruitfulness and be known for your fruitfulness by sharing that fruit to make a difference in somebody else's life so that they, again, can give glory to God. Let's be known by our fruit. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord for all he's doing within us. Heavenly Father, I am often in awe when I really just sit and consider the gift that you have given us with the life that we have in Christ. It's so much more than I often realize, Lord, and I it's help us all to just understand more fully all that you're doing in and through us and all that you make available to us because Jesus came and gave his life for us. We thank you for calling us, Lord, and for teaching us to have faith in you. And Lord, we thank you for the fruit that you produce in our lives. And we take joy when we see greater fruitfulness developing, Lord, as we're able to display you more. And Lord, may you just continue to teach us what it means to give that fruit to others, to share it with them, so that they can know you as well. May we be known by our fruit, Lord, fruit that glorifies you. In Jesus' name, amen.